I'd like to welcome everyone to New Harmony Baptist Church. I'll try to introduce myself first. I usually forget that. A lot of y'all haven't met me yet. My name is Chad Morgan from the big city of Muscadine on this side of the tracks. So been here since, I think, November, and they've already got me spoiled. I'm already used to this stuff on the wall and all that. I don't know if I could go back the whole way now, but good to see you out today. If you don't know, the restrooms are this way, through that door, so most of y'all know where. Just make yourself at home because you are at home. And let's just have a great service and worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Before we get started, do we have any prayer requests this morning? Anybody?
They're going to try to do Caroline's surgery Wednesday. So they think that she didn't have any other symptoms of flu when she went back, so they're going to do her eye surgery then.
It's the young girl from Ramburn. Y'all remember her? Got her eye damaged in an accident and trying to do some surgery to repair it if they can next week. So be much in prayer for her. Remember our church. Remember each other. I'm sure we have a lot I'm forgetting this morning. But
my cousin in Florida.
Remember that.
Remember Kim and her family.
Yes. Have any others? Not, we'll go to the Lord in prayer to start our service off. Father, we come to you this morning thanking you for your many blessings. Father, we thank you for everything you've given us. Father, we thank you for this church and the heritage, God, that it has. We thank you for mothers this morning, Father, and for what they mean to us. And God, you put them here for such a special reason. They're do the work that you do here on earth and to comfort us and to, Father, they just everything to us. And Lord, we ask you bless each one this morning as they do your will. And Father, we ask that you be with our singers this morning. Give them the words to sing, Father, and that we'll, everything we do here, be to honor and glorify your name and to worship you. Father, we ask that most of all, as you've been in our midst this morning, we can do nothing without you. All these blessings we ask in your Son, Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand and join us in our call to worship.
I've been walking the same old road for miles and miles. You've been hearing same old voice, tell the same old lies. If you're trying to feel the same old holes inside, there's a better life. There's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison-shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. We've all searched for the light of day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. We've all run to things we know just ain't right. When there's a better life, there's a better life. You got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can't feel it, somebody testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can't feel it, somebody testify. Lord, he's a way maker.
of a summer night. Had to be the last thing on my mind. Yeah, I was all but lost in the moment. I was young and running wide open. It was just another summer night. Had to be the last thing on my mind. When
what's
on and y'all gonna hear how I really sing. thank you for that, and welcome everybody to our Mother's Day service. I was asked to do the and any of y'all that's regulars here, you'll know what this means. Brother Chad asked me to do the Mother's Day presentation, where we kind of recognize the oldest mother, the mother, the youngest mother, and the mother with the most children here, okay? So, and I guess they picked me out to do it because I'm used to making folks upset and getting them mad and all that. But so first off, we're going to go for the Mother's Day gift for the youngest mother. So I guess, where do we start out at? Do we have a mother here that's 18? 19, 20. Okay, it'll be Stephanie. We kind of missed that in our interview process. Okay, where do we get to? 20, 21? Do we have a mother here that's 22? 23? Do we have a mother here that's 24? 25. We got a mother here that's 25. All right. Anybody younger than 25? All right. Congratulations, Melissa. You gonna give a gift? Okay, this is usually where I get the sideways looks. Do we have a mother that here that is older than 80? Grandma, okay, do we have one here that's, I said older than 80, didn't I? And only one hand. Anybody older than 80? And I said 80 because I know Grandma's 80. 81. Wow, when did that one slip in? No one older than 81? Well, that's easy enough. Well, congratulations, Grandma Janelle. Okay. The next up will be the mother with the most children present. Okay, do we have a mother here with 6 children present? Yeah, she deserves a Mother's Day present. She's got 6 rugrats. Do we have one with five children present? Do we have anyone with four children present? Okay, no one here with four children present. Okay, do we have one here with three children present? One, two, three, four. Okay. I'm thinking of a number between one and two.
Break it by if they have any others that aren't here. You know, like those three.
Okay. Okay.
Whether they're here or not, you may break it that way.
All right, we'll do it that way. Does anyone have four total children, whether here or not? Way to go, Stephanie. Okay. So I wished I had thought a little more about how we're going to do this tiebreaker. Okay. So let me put, do we have any visitors here that are not members of the church that has three children here? It'll be Miss Judy. Thank you. That was simple enough. Okay. At this time, every mother is going to get a present, and because y'all are just, you're so special. So I'm going to need some help up here on handing out some of these. And we'll ask our children to come up. And if you are a mother, make sure that you get one of these flowers, okay? Very pretty. I want to thank Lori and Peggy for kind of putting this together.
Every happy day. They sometimes you win some, sometimes you lose some. Right now I'm losing bad. Stood on this stage night after night, reminding the broken it'll be alright. But right now, oh right now, I just can't. It's easy to see when there's nothing to bring me down. What will I say when I'm hit to the flame like I am right now? I know you're able and I know you can save through the fire with your mighty hand. But even if you don't, my hope is you alone. They say it only takes a little faith to move a mountain. A good thing, a little faith is all right now. God, when you choose to leave mountains unmovable, oh, give me the strength to be able to sing, it is well with my soul. I know you're able and I know you can save through the fire with your mighty hand. But my hope is you alone. I know the sorrow and I know the hurt would all go away if you just say the word. But even if you don't, my hope is you alone. You've been faithful, you've been good all my days. Jesus, I will cling to you, come what may, cause I know you're able, I know you can. I know you're able, and I know you can.
On the spot, have to go after all that. Enjoyed our song service. Again, like the priest say, I appreciate the mothers being here. I know this is a pretty dumb statement, but without us, without them, we wouldn't be here. But that's truth in so many ways. If you got your Bibles today, turn to 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter number 5. That Bible reading's just sticking with me, guys. I can't get away from it. We had the Cleburne County Bible reading up here at the city of Heflin, and some of y'all may have participated, may have stopped by and listened, and our church, they was ready to vote me out. Some of them said they didn't vote when they voted me in, and that's all kind of stuff went on. Because I thought I was doing good to get us an early day saved. I was so excited. We had 28 people sign up, and we happened to get 2 Kings First Kings all the way through Chronicles. And about in the midnight on Chronicles, some of them wasn't so happy with their vote. So, I love Second Kings. I love First Kings. And I say that about all the scripture, but it's just so important. And I know today's memorial service, and I know today's Mother's Day, but y'all know I've been here since November, and I try to preach what God's laid on my heart. And today he's laid on my heart about Naaman. About Naaman. And give you a little background. Naaman was a great man. He was a great soldier. If you saw a picture of him, he's a picture of what a great man should be. And before I get too far myself, let's go ahead and read the scripture this morning. And first, 2 Kings chapter number 5, verse number 1. Says, now Naaman, captain of the host, the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. And he was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive Adonijah of Israel, a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now when this letter is coming to thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, he rent his clothes and said, am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man does sin unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherewith consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent unto the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan. 7 times thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and went away, and said, behold, I thought he would surely come out to me, and stand, and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Parphar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again, like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Father, we thank you today for this word. Father, I thank you for your spirit, most of all. And Father, the songs have been sung, and Lord, there's a great spirit in that. And Father, I ask today that you speak to your people. Lord, if there's one in here that stands in need of being clean, Father, I pray that you show them today that don't take some great thing on their part. The great thing was done on your part. Father, I ask that you just give them the faith to accept you as their Savior. Father, if there's ones here that's afar off, that belongs to you, but they're far off, Father, I pray that you draw them to you. I know you will. Draw them close. And Lord, it's something that's said here today be to honor and glorify the name of Jesus, for in him we have all things. Amen. Naaman, as I said, was a great man. The Bible says he was a great man with the king. He held favor with the king. And I begin to think today that we can look and decide what a great man looks like. I know the women, they think that the guy from Coleman, was it Channing Tatum? They say I look like him, or Stephanie does. But anyway, let me move on. But anyway, we all got ideas of what a great man looks like, and what it is. Naaman was a great soldier. He was a great soldier. He had overcome many battles. Now, the Bible said the Lord had given him deliverance. The Lord had used him. Now listen, God can use people that don't even belong to him today to bring about his will. He does it all in Scripture. But here, Naaman, the captain over the Syrian army, or commander of the Syrian army, was great. I can imagine him standing there, and I can imagine that he probably had great medals all over him, and probably had probably broad shoulders, and his name, it says, meant pleasant. So he not only was he a great soldier, he was a pleasant man to be around. He had a good nature about him, and everything was just right with Naaman. If you met him on the street, you would say, surely that's a good man. If you met him there, if you become one of his soldiers, you would say, surely I love Naaman, my great leader, and man, he's just the best thing there ever has been. But there's a little word in our English language that changes a lot of stuff. It's B-U-T. Kids, don't laugh. I know you want to. But listen, the Bible says Naaman was a great man, but he was a leper. He was a leper. I want you to see something today that you can't tell by the outside of a man what he is. You can't tell by looking at somebody if he's a great man. You can't even tell about what you interact with him on a day-to-day basis about what a man is like, because soldiers all day long come in contact with Naaman. People on the street all day long come in contact with Naaman, but they didn't see something that his sleeves was covering up. Naaman was a leper. And in that day, leprosy was almost a death sentence. No, it didn't kill you right then, but what leprosy done was it eat at you slowly. It started as a skin disease, and when it was finished, it began attacking the nerves. They said it was so possible that it would attack so many nerves that people could pick up a pot of boiling water with their bare hand and never even feel it. And because of that, many people's hands were burned off. And now this would get pretty gross, but I studied it. It said back in that day that people couldn't feel anything, their hands or feet, wherever the leprosy was. And different animals or rats or whatever might gnaw that thing off and they not even feel it. So it was a terrible condition to be in, to have this leprosy. So on the outside, he looked like a perfect man. He looked like he was healthy. He was a great soldier. He was a great. He was everything. He was a great man. He was probably a great father. He was a great servant here to his people. And he brought this little maid in. He was great to her, and he was great to his wife. But listen, on the inside, he was a dying man. I wonder today, have we got people in our congregation that look like they're great on the outside, but bless God, inside they're dying. Inside they're dying, inside they're decaying, and it's because of a sickness that we was all born in. You see, leprosy was contracted, I told you, by skin. It was contracted through nasal stuff or tears or whatever it might have been. But listen, we all contract a sickness one day. The moment we was born, we contract a sickness called sin. We all got it. We didn't get out of it. You didn't get to choose if you would be a sinner. The Bible says we was all sinners. Every single one of us, all of us, was fell into this thing. So Naaman only, he looked perfect, but on the inside, he was dying. And can you imagine a little child, how precious they are? And we've got some brand new ones in the church. I don't see any of them here today, but we've got some new ones with us. And I can see them in their mother's arms. And I tell you, Terry, they look perfect. They look perfect. There ain't nothing wrong with them. And it don't seem like there's ever anything wrong with them. But those child inside are dying. They're dying. Now listen, until the age of accountability, if they pass, I believe the scripture teaches that they will be with the Lord. But listen, the day of accountability will come, and they will stand accountable for their sin. Because they're born into this thing. You go all the way back to Adam and Eve in the garden when the fall took place and sin become give to every man. Because of Adam, everybody is born into this sin nature. You do not get to escape it. If you are born, guess what? You're a sinner. There's only two types of people on the earth. Sinners and sinners saved by grace. That's all there is. There's no other. There's no way to straddle the fence. So here, Naaman, the soldier, was a beautiful man. He was a great man, but on the inside, under all that beauty, he was dying. And I want to talk about this sickness. I told you I studied that a little bit and how slow it was and how it would start and it would begin attacking the nervous system. And could you imagine that you had something so bad that it attacked, you couldn't even feel anything, and your arms could be gnawed off, it could be burnt off, and you not even feel it. But you know what was worse than that? If you was a leper in that day, and when you walked down the street, you had to wear torn clothing. And then when you come in contact or somebody got close, you had to holler out, unclean, unclean. What about today if God required every sinner, when you come in contact with them, to cry out, unclean? Unclean. What if we had to do that today? You see what it done. Not only did leprosy begin slowly killing you, leprosy was an outcast. You was an outcast in the community. People couldn't have nothing to do with you. You couldn't bend around into the crowd. In today's time, we'd be in a mess in the political correct society we live in today. We'd all have leprosy. But listen, they had to be set apart. When you come in contact, they had to yell out, I'm unclean. Get away. Now, can you imagine how Naaman would begin dealing with this? Naaman was the head of an army. He couldn't be put away. He had overcome many armies. So what I read, they said probably Naaman just couldn't touch his soldiers. Naaman couldn't have contact with his wife. Naaman couldn't have contact with his children. Naaman couldn't have contact with anybody. Now, I want you to think about this just a minute. How many times have you been down and out, or you've been all upset, and somebody comes and gives you a big old hug? Boy, don't it make you feel good. Men, I know you're manly, but listen, it makes you feel good. How many times you've been all upset at your job, or somebody comes by and pats you on the back and says, that was a good job, way to go. And man, you're happier. Think about this. How many of you been playing a sport? I help coach a little league softball. Man, I can see them strike out. And immediately when they do, their old head drops like this. And it means so much to them when somebody goes to them and puts their arm around them and says, you know what, you tried your best. Listen, touch has a lot to do with our feelings, don't it? But they could not be touched. They had to be set apart. And this leprosy, just like sin, it was slowly begin killing them. Now, I want you to think about sin for a minute. Sin is something that we take so lightly today. We interact with it on a daily basis. Even as Christians, we should be putting that stuff away from us. But let me tell you what sin will do. Sin slowly begins killing you. It's slowly, the first time you do something you're not supposed to, it's hard. And then guess what? The next time's a little easier. The next time's a little bit easier. And before long, you do just exactly what leprosy done, is sin begins attacking the spiritual nervous system. You become numb to it. You can do about anything and it don't bother you. You can do about anything and the Holy Spirit can prick your heart and you can just put him off. You can put him off because you become numb to this sin. It's sad today that there are so many people, even sitting in our pews today, that has leprosy. They have spiritual leprosy. They have it. They're slowly dying. There's many people that has many different addictions in our society. You can begin looking at it. There's people addicted to alcohol. There's people addicted to all different kind of drugs. There's people addicted to sexual addictions. There's all kind of different addictions you can go through. And you know what each one of them does? It begins killing you slowly. It begins killing you slowly. You see, that if it killed you immediately, people would stay away from it. What about today? You think, how many people would you have addicted to alcohol if the first drink they take killed them? You wouldn't have very many. How many people you think today would you have in affairs if the first affair they had killed them? You wouldn't have very many. But listen, oh, Satan is a sly booger, and he knows exactly what he's doing. The Bible says he's father of sin. He's where sin originated at. You can go all the way back to Ezekiel, and you can see something about him. He was the most beautiful creation that God ever created. You study about him. He was, boy. He was pretty, and he could sing just like a bird. He was a beautiful singer. The Bible says it of him. Listen, he was all this great stuff. But the problem he had, he desired to be greater than God. And that's where sin came in. You say, now, wait a minute, preacher. I don't desire to be greater than God. Well, you don't. If you don't follow God's commandments, you don't follow God's word, guess what you're saying? That you know better than God does. You're saying that your way is above God's ways. You're saying that you know the right way and God don't. So every single one of us today in this place are sinners or saved by grace. One of the two. But listen, that sickness, begin eating that. Started slow. Can you imagine the first day they contracted leprosy? They could have probably looked at their arm and say, something's happening. You see, it would begin turning white. And the hairs would begin turning white. And when they first got that thing, they'd say, well, there's a little spot. There may not be nothing come of it. We'll watch it and see. And it ain't it just like us today. We'll dabble a little bit in sin and we'll say, you know what? Nobody knows about that thing. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll just keep doing it because it's fun. And a little bit later, that leprosy, they look at their arm, and it's grown to about that big. And they said, you know what? Maybe I should see a doctor, but you know what? It ain't that bad yet. So we do the same thing. We'll say, you know what? I know my sin's not right. I know I'm not supposed to do this, but I'll worry about it when I get a little older. I'll worry about it when time comes a little different, but I'm not going to worry about it right now. And then one day, they look down at their arm, and guess what? They can see the bone. They can see the bones. They can see the flesh. They say, it's about time to see a doctor. It's about time we do something. And what if me and you today, it's in a moment that God let us know that something's wrong in our spiritual lives, why don't we immediately go to the physician? Why don't we immediately go to him and cry out and say, Father, clean me up. But guess what? For some reason, we're not smart enough to do that. Many times it takes us getting to the same place spiritually that we have to get to physically. Most men will not go to the doctor till they're nearly dead. Amen? Most men, when they go to the doctor, it's nearly too late. We're the same way in our spiritual lives. We have to get down to the very bottom before we cry out to God. Let me tell you something, church. It's time that we as a church put away sin and get back to what God has called us to be, and that's holy according to his word, and live like the Bible tells us to live, and we won't be dealing with all this spiritual leprosy that we have in the church. But what about the solution?
See, Naaman had this problem. He had this problem. He had this leprosy in his sleeves or his pants legs or something, kept it covered. Nobody knew it but the ones close to him. But there was a little maid that he had got over there in Israel that come into his house, and she knew, she had saw at some point this leprosy. It probably wasn't talked about in his house. He probably didn't walk around with it showing, but somehow she found out that her master had leprosy. And you know what she said? She says, I know somebody that can fix it. I know somebody that can fix it. Let me tell you something, church. When's the last time you run across somebody that was in a mess? When's the last time you run across somebody that was spiritually dying? When's the last time you run across somebody? Now, we don't know anybody's hearts, but according to their life, they do not know the Lord. When's the last time? You're probably thinking, you said, you know what? Happened last week. It happened yesterday. Or happened this time. But let me ask you something else. When was the last time you told them that you knew a solution? When was the last time you told them, I know somebody that can heal you? I know somebody that can make it better. I guarantee you today, if you went to someone that's got cancer and you told them there's somebody in Birmingham, Alabama that can heal you, the interstate would be full. Why the world today is preachers standing up preaching and Sunday school teachers teaching and youth pastors preaching that there's a cure for sin, but nobody cares. Listen, the solution. She tells him, she says, there's one in Israel that can heal you. Naaman goes down there. He goes down to Israel. First, he went to the king's house. But I want you to think about what Naaman did before that. He gathered everything he could to think he might could pay that man to heal him. He got gold, he got silver, he got changes of clothes, he got everything. He was going to get healed. Here he went off down to Israel. He got to Israel and he come to the king. The king said, hey, buddy, I can't do nothing for you. But there was a prophet in Israel. There was an old prophet in Israel, old Elisha, who wasn't very much as you look at him. That what I read about him said, oh, Elisha probably lived in a little dirt hut maybe, or some kind of little hut. Here come great Naaman from way out yonder wearing his big fancy clothes on his big fancy horses with all of his gold, with all of his silver, and out comes this little man, Elisha. But wait, Elisha didn't even come out. He come up to Elisha's house after the king sent him there, and Elisha sent one of his servants out to meet him. He says, go down there and wash in that river seven times. And the Bible says that Naaman went away mad. You know why? Because Naaman was like many church people. Naaman was like many people in the world. He knew in himself how he should be healed. He thought because he was a great man that this little prophet, he should come out and say a bunch of words and strike a thing, a lightning should strike around him, and he would be healed, and it was going to be miraculous, and it was going to be in the Cleveland News, and it was going to be all over TV, and man, it was going to be great. How many of us today think that when God saves us, it'll be something spectacular? Listen, it is. It is. It probably not going to involve lightning. It's probably not going to be like Paul's conversion. But may I tell you today, it's still miraculous.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
But he came up to there, and he said, this prophet won't even come out to me. What in the world are we doing here? He said, go dip in that Jordan. That thing is dirty. That thing is dirty. I got rivers over here where I'm from. That's way better. Why can't I dip in those rivers? I have people ask me all the time, preacher, how do you know that Christianity is the only way? How do you know that Jesus is the only way? I'll tell you how I know he's the only way. I've never read about another risen Savior. I've never read about another man who died for my sins. Have y'all? I've never read for another one that is alive today. He will be alive forevermore. He always has been. He always will be. Have you ever heard of another one? That's how I know he's the one. Listen, she told him a solution. He went. Naaman come out and told him what he had to do. He said, I can't do that. That water is dirty. Boy, I like what his servant says. His servant came near and spoke to him and said, if he had bid you do some great thing, would you not have done it? I've said it all my life, or ever since I've been preaching, that people today would think that we could be saved easier if God said in his word we must ride a 10-speed bicycle from California to New York City. Buddy, the road will be full of people riding bicycles. Because the Bible tells us that there's a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end of it is death. You see, as people, we just cannot believe that God saves us according to our faith. We think we must do some great work. There must be some great sign. There must be something great happen. And man, all this stuff must, you just got to do this because I'm special. I want to tell you something today. God has offered salvation to every person. He's offered it to you. The scripture tells us that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved today. He don't say you got to go dip in Jordan seven times. That's what he told Naaman. Listen, what he says of you, he says you got to repent and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and that he died for your sins. And when you do that and confess him in front of man, that you will be saved. Amen. That's what he says. He don't say that baptism saves you. He don't say that walking that aisle saves you. He don't say that bowing here saves you. And listen, church membership sure does not save you. But what saves you is a faith in a risen Savior named Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's what saves you. That's the solution. Naaman couldn't believe it. His partner, his servant said, if he told you to do some great something, would you not do it? So Naaman tried it. He went down into that water seven times. I believe with all my heart that six wouldn't have worked. I don't believe five would have worked. I believe it had to be seven times. That's just why I'm saying. I don't believe anything I can do can save me other than have faith in Jesus Christ. There's a way which seems right unto man. It seems like to me, in my little thinking, that if I helped enough people, surely God would have mercy on me. That if I fed enough hungry, surely God would do something. If I preached enough sermons, surely God would look over my sin. If he did this, surely God would see me better. Listen, the only way that God's going to see me better was the blood of Jesus Christ applied to my heart. That's the only thing that'll work today. Don't buy into that stuff that this will work and that'll work and this will cure you and that'll cure you. Bless God, unless you are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, you are not his. It's the only way. There was one way for Naaman to be healed. There's one way for you to be healed. Naaman tried it. The Bible says his skin become as the skin of a little child. Is that not like God? When he saves, he saves completely. Naaman was never to have leprosy no more. Listen, Naaman was never to be a leper. At that point on of Naaman, you never hear the word Naaman a leper anymore. You hear Naaman the great soldier. Naaman was still a great soldier, and God had healed him from his leprosy. I want to tell you something today, church. Once God heals you from that sickness you have called sin, bless God, you are healed.
Amen.
Now, Naaman probably got a cold from then on. Naaman probably got a stomach virus from then on. Naaman may have even got cancer from then on, but I promise you one thing Naaman didn't do. He was never a leper again. He had been healed by the mighty hand of God. Naaman had something that was simply what we sing about today, simply something of a little faith, of a little faith. I can't imagine how many people we have today in our country, in Alabama, but what's sadly, probably in our church pews today, that are sitting there, and man, y'all are pretty. I'm looking out at every one of you, even Rudy. All dressed up, got ties on, man, you look good. The mothers look good, the children look good. From outside, you look like a picture of one of God's. But I wonder today, inside, if we could strip that covering back and see the hearts of all of us, is some of us dying with leprosy? Are we dying? Is there a dead man inside that outside covering? When you get down to the very heart of man, is it dying? You see, I don't know that about you, only I know it about me. And I'm glad I can't know it about you. And I'm glad you can't know it about me. But listen, I know today that in my own thinking that I should have preached about a homecoming message. I should have preached about a Mother's Day message. Bless God, they're worthy. But God laid it on my heart the first part of last week to preach about salvation. Listen, I don't care what role your name is on in a church. That don't matter. What matters if your name is in the Lamb Book of Life. That's what matters. It don't matter if you're a member of this church or that church. But let me tell you something, a person sitting in that pew, you better make sure your name's in the Lamb Book of Life, because you lead this walks of life without it. According to the Scripture, you will spend eternity in hell. I know it's mean. It's not proper or moral day, but bless God, it's the truth. It's the truth today. There's people sitting in our pews. I don't know your heart, but I'm talking about as churches all over the place. Looking pretty every Sunday. Inside, that leprosy's growing. Keenly growing. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And it tells us that sin has a wage. Romans 6:23, I think it is. The wages of sin is death. But he puts one of those little conjunctions. I even looked at that. Y'all, I make up words, but I can look up something. The word but is a conjunction. There's a little conjunction in there that says but. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. You see, if you got leprosy today, spiritually speaking, sin, leprosy, that sin has a payment. It has to be paid for with death. It's either going to be paid for you with your death or the death that Jesus Christ died on Calvary some 2,000 years back. You know what? This is a part of the service that gets me where I can relax, but it's also scary. At this point, I've done about all I can do in my weak way. This comes a time that you get to make a choice. You see, because only you know your heart. Only you know where you stand with God. And like I've told you, that sin debt is going to be paid, brother. I promise you that. You can put it off and you can defer payments and you can do anything you want to your car loan or to your house note or any of that stuff. But this is a debt that one day is going to be paid. It makes sense to me to pay it off today. It's been paid. Jesus has already paid it. All you've got to do is accept it through faith. As we stand, they come forward with a verse of song. Naaman was a great man. Naaman was a great soldier. On the outside, Naaman looked perfect. Naaman was a picture of a perfect church member. If you could paint, if Miss Sandy could paint a picture of a church member, she would paint Naaman. He would be beautiful. Look like man, he would be a suit and tie. He would be perfect, have a Bible under his arm, and everything would look good. Is that you today? But you see, the important part about Naaman's when he rolled his sleeves up. That's when the true character was revealed. If today, if God could strip back all the outside layers, how is your heart? Is there leprosy? Or have you been made clean? That scripture said that his arms or his flesh, it didn't say his arm, but it said his flesh become like a little child's. The Bible tells us that when we're saved, we become justified. And people have took this, and I think